All right, I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to pray first. God, thank you so much for this time that we have together and that your spirit is here, God, and that you've already been moving. You've already been doing an amazing thing. God, thank you for a great night at church, a great night in the house of God. And I just pray that you would just use me and you just speak through me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start, and here we go, this is going to be a technical moment. Oh, no, it's not. Beautiful. I found it straight away. That's really cool. Anyway, I read this in my journaling and it's not in my message, but I'm going to share it tonight. And I was thinking about how we come to church, okay? And I'll just let this stir your faith. It's in Hebrews 12 and it says, "You've not come to a mountain that can be touched or that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned." So he's talking about the law and Moses and the Israelites, yeah? It says, "The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." I read that the other day, and I just had this thing, like, when I come to church, and is that what I'm thinking? Like, do I think I'm just coming to a church service, or I'm coming to thousands and thousands of angels filled with joy? I'm coming to God. I'm coming to Jesus, who is the mediator of a new covenant, and that because of him and because he died on the cross, I don't have to be bound by anything, but I can have total, absolute freedom for now and eternity. And when I walk into church, is that the spirit that I bring? Because that's the place that you're coming to. Now, we can have, like, good music, and the music was amazing tonight, and we can have whatever we want with that, but it's not about music, it's about the house of God, it's the presence of God, and don't miss out on that. You know, Mitch can get up and he can say that was the most amazing church, like, explosion that he's been in, but you could be sitting there thinking, "I didn't feel a thing." And that doesn't mean that, like, God isn't here. That means that you are not open to feel him and what he wants to say to you. To be honest, like, come expectant, come waiting for God. And I'm probably usually nicer than this, but that's cool. Nobody cares. I don't care. I'm just so stirred, and I don't think, like, I've been thinking and we've been talking, and I don't think that there has been so much expectation in our church before, except for this time and this series. And to be honest, like, we didn't even think we were going to do a 6 weeks of breakthrough until like a month ago. So it's actually been less time planning than there is happening, which is cool. Like, I just think it's God, honestly, and I think that God is going to do something with it. And I really want you to not just take it for granted, not just let this go by and just do the same thing. Please don't. Please don't. Please do not sit back and watch this time go past. I mean it. Like, I'm really asking you that you would not, please. You know, like, God, I don't even know what my message is going to be tonight. We're going to see what happens. Because, you know, I've got notes. We'll get there. But God is a God of breakthrough, and God wants to make a difference in your life. And he does not want you to sit back and just spectate. He doesn't want you to struggle. He doesn't want you to be weighed down. You know, God actually wants your life to give him glory. So it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about me living this life of freedom so that God can be glorified. And so that somebody looks at you and go, "Wow, I knew them, I know them, and I remember when they used to be bound up and down and sad and struggled with everything, but now I look at their life and they are free and they are full of life and joy and they have purpose and they are just free from all things and nothing is holding them back and they are just going, and I don't understand what's going on in their life, but there's something there, and that something is God." And God's call for your life is that you would have total freedom and total breakthrough, and that is not just for you, amen? You know, I was reading in Mark, and there's this, right in Mark 1, Mark is a great gospel, read it if you've never read a gospel, because it's like action-packed and there's no boring bits. And this guy comes to him with leprosy and begs Jesus on his knees. I'm going to just stay on some of these, I reckon. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This is what he says to Jesus. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now, what is your expectation when you come to God? Because I love that this guy, he comes and he begs Jesus, not because he's not sure if Jesus can do it. He knows that Jesus can do it. He says, you can make me clean. He says, he's not like, can you make me clean? He says, you can make me clean if you are willing. And what he's begging for is not like, sometimes I think we beg for God to do something like, as if I beg enough, then God might be able to do it. But God's already able. And what this guy is begging is saying, Jesus, be willing. Please have compassion on me. Show me that you care. Because you can do it. I know you can do it. And so when he does that, it's like Jesus is there and he is willing and God is willing. And we can bring our need before him and just say, God, I know that you can do it. So if you're willing, heal me. If you're willing, give me breakthrough. And God is willing and he is able. Amen. And like, we don't need to strive for that. We don't need to worry about that. I think so often we have this like, I don't know, this crazy view of God. And this weird view that God can't do something, or that God couldn't do it, or God wouldn't do it for you. I was reading a bunch of the Gospels and just was amazed by the expectation of people in Jesus' time. Because when you read the stories, people heard about Jesus and they had this 100% expectation that he was going to heal. There was not a doubt in their mind. There's just story after story of people who just, they know that if they can get to Jesus, that Jesus will heal them. But we come thinking, oh, maybe God might be able to do something, or God's never done something, or I've been struggling this for ages, and I don't even know if God wants to do anything or can do anything about this situation. But I'm just challenged by the faith of people that don't even question. It's not even like in their head. It's like, it's not even like, it doesn't even come up in their thinking whether Jesus could do it or not. They're just, the only thing they're concerned with is if I can get there, then he's going to heal me, yeah? And I feel like if you want to have breakthrough, then be expectant. Don't come into 6 weeks or a week or whatever, anytime. Like, I don't think it takes 6 weeks to have breakthrough. But, you know, it's good, and we're going to cover a lot of topics, so it's a good thing. But honestly, what is your expectation when you come to God? What is your expectation when you come to church? What is your expectation when you come to life group? Is it that God is going to speak to you, that he's going to challenge something in your heart, that he's going to free you and release you and use you, like, that God is going to heal the thing and fulfill the need that you have? Is your expectation that God is going to move in your friend's life and in the lives of your family, like with the people that you care about, that God is going to do something? Like, we have so much doubt about what God can do, but God can do anything, and we don't need to doubt at all, you know. God has so much power, and he is the God of the breakthrough. He's not the God of waiting for me to stuff up. He's the God who loves me, and who, honestly, God, I really think that God wants you to achieve your potential more than you do. I reckon, I don't know, God is patient and loving, but I think if I was God, I would just be sick of people never getting on with the thing that God, that I had called them to do. And it'd be like, come on, why are you doing this? You have so much more in your life than what you are, like, letting yourself be confined to. Like, why do it? I don't even get it. Why would I let my life be bound when God is offering freedom? Why? Now, there's this story in Mark 5, and I'm just going to paraphrase. And Jesus is, you know, going, and this large crowd is following him, and there's this this guy, one of the synagogue rulers, Jairus, was there, and he sees Jesus, and he says, and he fell at his feet. This is a common theme. And pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. It says, as he was going, there's this woman there who's been struggling with this illness for years. And she sees that Jesus is coming, and she's never got better. And so she looks at Jesus, and she comes up behind him and touches his cloak. And says, because she thought, in verse 28, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. What is your expectation of God? You know, do you think, oh, I need to wait like until the church does a big series on breakthrough, and then God might do something? This woman wasn't even, she didn't even talk to Jesus. She didn't even, like she didn't come to him and say, please. She just says, if I can just grab onto his coat, then I'll be healed. And she is. And it's her faith that heals her. And then Jesus keeps on going, because that's just like this side story to the other story about Jairus' daughter. You know, and so Jesus keeps going, and then the servant comes and says, "Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." But Jesus says, "She's not dead. She's just asleep." Like, and he goes and he takes the girl and he says, "Little girl, get up." And it says, this girl that was dead gets up and walks around. Like, come on. What is your expectation of faith for what God can do in your life? Because I know that all of us can have doubts, and I can have doubts, but my expectation is that God is going to move. My expectation is that He has a plan for your life, that He has a purpose that is greater than anything that you can think of, that you can imagine, that you can ask for, that God has something bigger for you than anything. Does anybody believe that? I feel like mom and dad are telling me that they believe it. It's right. They shouldn't be the only ones. No, I know you believe it, but it's about taking hold of it, yeah? Come on. You need to fight for it. Not against like other people, because, you know, honestly, other people bringing you down, a lot of the time that's not that hard to deal with. But it's just you bringing yourself down that is the real hard, the real struggle. You know, it's your own attitude, your own fear that'll stop you getting breakthrough more than anything else. You know, honestly, the devil doesn't need to try and stop you. He just needs to put a bit of doubt in your mind. He just needs to let you come up with self-doubt and think, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if God would use me. Oh, I don't know if He could do that for me. I can see Him doing that for those other people, but I'm not like those other people. But you are. You're exactly the same as every other person. Every other person on the planet is exactly the same as you. And it is the choices that we make that will determine whether God will use us. Amen? In 1 Timothy 6, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "You, man of God, flee from all this, all the world stuff, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." A lot of us here tonight have made a good confession. A lot of us here tonight have said, "Yep, Jesus, I accept you. I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me for my sins, and I want to follow you with my life." We've prayed that prayer. But Paul says to Timothy, don't just take that thing that you said and leave it there. He says, grab hold and take hold and hold on and keep fighting. You've got to fight the good fight for your faith. You can't let doubt and fears and other people and attitudes and negativity stop you from living in what God has called you to live. Amen? Come on. Get there. You got to seek God. You know, don't just sit back, but chase Him. You know, every story, like these stories that I read and so many others, are about people who just sought God out, and no matter what, they would try and get to Jesus, because they knew that when they got to Jesus, He would heal them, yeah? And we can go to so much effort seeking all sorts of things out. You know, I don't know what it is, but like you can go to huge effort. Like, you know, you may know, but you may not have noticed, I'm sure you did, that I'm preaching off the iPad. You know, I went to considerable effort to get one because I wanted one, and you know, everybody was sold out. And so, you know, I called up all these places and drove around trying to find them. And I'm like, well, I have one left. And so we're like, quick, get in. And we rushed down, and you know, and that's great, and that's fine, and that's good. But like, why is it that we put so much effort into seeking out the things of the world, but I don't put so much effort into seeking God? Like if I want breakthrough, like if I want like a new pair of shoes, or if I want like a gadget or whatever, or I want, you know, a career, then I will seek that out, and I'll do everything that I can to seek that out. You know, I'll go to uni. Like you want the job that you want. You went and you spent $30,000 at uni. I don't know if you realize that, but you know, that's what happens. You know, you seek it out. But why is it like if I want breakthrough, I'll sit back and I'll just, come on, God. I'm just waiting for you to do it. Why don't we seek it out? You know, why? If I wanted breakthrough, why wouldn't I seek out the one who can give me breakthrough? Why wouldn't I seek him just with everything that I've got? Amen. We need to chase after God, pursue him. You know, don't sit back. Don't think that, you know, a little bit is just enough. I love, you know, in that song, Give Thanks, and it's like, any price I pay is cheap against all you've done. And I love it. Every time I sing that line, I think about it. I think, God, I never do enough. I can never do enough. I can never seek you enough. I can never serve you enough. Now, why do I think, oh, well, I went to church this morning, so I don't have to go to church tonight? You know, why? Like, why wouldn't you? It's not about what you have to do. Get that out of your head. Okay? If you're here because you think you have to be here, then don't worry about it. I'm not forcing you to come. You know, come to church, come to life group, come to the Bible every day because you want to seek God. Because you want him to speak into your life. You want to have breakthrough. You want to live the life that he has called you, not the life that everybody else in the world is having. You don't want to face the same issues every day, every week, every year. But you want to see God move in your life in a powerful way. So if you want that, then seek it. Come on. In Matthew 7, it says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And him who knocks, the door will be open. You know, get there and do it. Like, get it. Just go do it, honestly. I'm basically out of time, but just quickly. I think if you want breakthrough, then you've got to do the thing that God tells you to do. And Dad shared on this morning. You know, no matter what it is, remember like when you're a little kid, like your parents would say, tell you to do things that didn't make sense to you because they're older and smarter than you. And they know that, you know, if you touch that heater, even though it might look exciting and it's glowing and warm and inviting and welcoming, you know, and so when you're little, you think, well, like if it's so nice standing next to this heater, wouldn't it be even nicer if I touched it? Like, that's logical, yes? But your parent knows better, and so they tell you not to touch the heater, even though that doesn't make sense to you. But, you know, if you don't listen to them, you get hurt. And God might tell you to do things that don't make sense to you, and he tells you that because he knows better. Because he is older and smarter than you are. So listen, yeah? In Luke 5, Jesus is there, and Peter and John are fishing. This is as he's calling his first disciples. And they've been out fishing all night and haven't caught anything. And Jesus turns up and he says, throw your net out the other side. And they're like, well, Master, we've been here all night and we haven't caught a thing. Yeah? But they do it anyway. It says, because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And in verse 6, Luke 5, it says, when they did this, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. But he and his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So they pulled up their boats to the shore, left everything and followed him. And I want to get to that place where I look at my life and the incredible catch of fish and just go away from me. I'm sinful. I don't deserve anything that you've done. And we don't, and I don't. I said, but then they would just leave everything and follow him. No, if you want breakthrough, that's how you get it. And so this is not like self-help or motivational speaking or something. You know, if you want breakthrough, then seek God. Do what he says. Read his word. Let it be in your heart and alive. Do the things that you are told to do. You know, listen to wise counsel. Listen to people who have been there and done it and know. You know, you don't have to make all the same mistakes that everybody else has made. You know, it's all written there in God's word, and there are good people in the church that will talk to you and advise you and help you. And God wants to speak to you every single day. So if you want breakthrough, you know, then seek it and seek the one who will give you breakthrough. And it's really that simple. And so the next like 5 Sundays now is going to be all about that and all about breakthrough and get there, get it. But please, please, please do not rely on a Sunday service, because that is not going to get you breakthrough. Just, I'm going to be real with you right now. That is not going to be enough. Just won't. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to do it every day. You've got to really seek God. Amen. So, amen. Good. I'm going to pray.